on. Somebody give God some praise in the house today for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, I wish I had somebody that would just think about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. If I got at least four or five folks that when you think back about how good God has been for you and the mercy of God unto you, come on, if I got somebody that will give God glory in the house today, give God glory in the house today. Give God glory in the house today. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, have I got somebody in here that would just give God glory and thank God for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? I thank God for your goodness and your mercy towards us. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, just say, I thank God for the goodness of the Lord and God's mercy to my life. For your goodness and your mercy towards us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Somebody say, Reverend, it don't take all that. You don't understand how good God's been to me. You don't understand how merciful God has been to me. See, the thing I like about mercy is when you didn't get what you deserve to get. See, goodness is God can just be good to you, amen? Grace is God can just be gracious to you. But mercy is when you deserved it, but just didn't get what you deserved, amen? In other words, mercy is that you deserve the penalty for the crime, but God said, no, I'm gonna stay my hand because I believe there's something better for you on the other side. Ay, 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 ay. Anybody here? I thank God for God's goodness. But Lord have mercy. When I think about the mercy of God, I did it. I was guilty. I deserved the punishment. And God said, I'm going to show you mercy in spite of yourself. Hey, glory to his name. Glory. 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 Glory to his name for your goodness and your mercy towards me. Ay, 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 ay. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the Old Testament book. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, 6th verse. Ay, 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 ay. Your mercy. Lord, have mercy towards us. Now stop. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The 6th verse. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The 6th verse. Lord, have mercy. Your mercy. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. Amen. Amen. There's a part there when Brother Tim, I just had them keep saying, and your mercy. And your mercy. And your mercy. And your mercy. And your mercy towards us. God, have mercy, Jesus, for your goodness and mercy towards us. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. It reads as us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject today, remember why. Remember why. Somebody just say, remember why. Remember why. Let us look to the Lord God. In Jesus' name we thank you. Now have your way in this moment. Send fire from heaven and help us to remember why. Save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. We'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Remember why. brothers and my sisters, this is Advent season. This is that season in which the Christian church sits and reflects upon in preparation for the birth and the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's important, and I did not realize necessarily its importance until I got older in the faith and older as a pastor, and I was able to see some things as a pastor. As a pastor, I realized that the moments between, say, Thanksgiving and Easter, that time period, almost a time period in which depression seems to rise all over the world. It's a time in which people go into funks. It's a time in which people can feel some kind of a way. What I realize is that oftentimes what happens is that we get caught up in paying attention to the enemy reminding us of what we don't have versus remembering the reason for the season. Oftentimes, if you can look at commercials, if you can look at what people are buying, if you can look at what people are saying they're buying on Instagram, amen, somebody, if you can look at a folks' whole social media life, oftentimes it can cause you to get caught up in the fact of realizing what you don't have, of realizing that you do not necessarily have what it needs to be able to get everything that your folks want you to get them. And the truth be told that sometimes on Christmas that you have to turn to your children, you have to turn to your family members and say in the words of that comedian, the way my bank account is set up. Amen, somebody. You do not have necessarily what it takes. And sometimes you can get so caught up in reflecting on what you don't have that you forget what was given unto you. And the truth be told that this Advent season is a season for us to reflect upon the fact that God loved the world so much that God gave God's only begotten Son. But the challenge is that we can get so caught up on who's not here, on what's not here, on the fact that we can run up under mistletoe and ain't nobody trying to run up under it with us. Amen, somebody? That we can get so caught up on what we don't have that we can miss the larger piece of remembering why the season is the season. And so, my brothers and my sisters, on this Sunday, I take us to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who 700 years before Jesus was on the scene, was able to pen these words and this prophecy that said, "For unto us a child is given, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." This is seen as a prophecy, a prophetic moment, Isaiah speaking to the people of Israel about what is on the way, about the Messiah that is to come. And I believe it's important to be able to look at this scripture so we can remember why during this Christmas season. Amen. One of the first things I believe that we can do when we remember why is we've got to remember that just because it hasn't doesn't mean it won't. I turn to your neighbor and say, just because it hasn't doesn't mean it won't. In other words, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that God isn't in the doing it business. Amen. And somebody here, you need to hold on to that because you need to realize that Isaiah, when Isaiah was writing this scripture, when he was writing this prophecy, Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Isaiah lived 700 years. He never saw it come to pass. He was able to speak something, but just because it didn't happen to him doesn't mean it wasn't going to happen. And you've got to understand, my brothers and my sisters, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that God's not in the blessing business, because God can still be working on what has not happened yet in your life. And the challenge for too many of us is we get so caught up on what we don't have that we can't shout about what God is in the process of doing. That we don't understand that God is working on your blessing right now. You're too busy having a pity party when you should be getting them same balloons and putting them jokers together for what God's about to do, because God has already sent angels to work on your behalf. God's already got the hookup in place. God's already got folks having conversations about you. God's already got folks with you on mind. God's already giving you favor in some rooms that you won't even have access to just yet. They talking about you in rooms you ain't even get into just yet, because God's working on your behalf. But you're so busy crying about what you don't have that you don't understand that just because it hasn't doesn't mean it won't. But I've come by to bear witness to somebody here during this Christmas season, that if you can wrap your arms not around what you don't have, but wrap your arms around what God sent to you in Jesus, then you can understand that Jesus is working some things out on your behalf. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, it's on the way, it's on the way, it's on the way." Somebody gonna tell me, "Well, Reverend, I pray and it seems like it's a dry season. I don't seem to hear God speaking to me anymore." That God used to send blessing after blessing after blessing. But what you've got to understand, when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament is a period they call the intertestamental period. It was 400 years in which they didn't hear God say a word, didn't have a prophecy, didn't have a miracle, didn't see God move. But yet in the midst of it all, God was still working it out on their behalf. Somebody here, has been a long time since you felt like God has been on your case. But I've come by to let you know, just because you haven't seen God moving, God is still working it out on your behalf. 400 years of not hearing an amen from God. 400 years of not seeing a blessing from God. But they didn't realize that God was about to do the biggest work God had ever done before. And sometimes when God's working on the big hookup, it'll take you a little bit longer than the medium-sized hookup. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's cooking. God's working on a recipe in your life, and it's taking a little bit of time, because God can't do this one in the microwave. Baby, God's got to let this one simmer. Is there anybody in here who knows that God's letting my blessing simmer? God's doing something for me. It's going to take it a little bit of time to get ready. But baby, when it comes up out the pot, it's going to be good. I sure enough good. Somebody say simmer. Let it simmer and let it do its full work. Because when just because it hasn't doesn't mean it won't. But the second thing is, remember, it's on his shoulders. It's on his shoulders. One of the things that can be a challenge even this period, Reverend Bill, is that we cannot just get caught up in what's happening at the store, and not just get caught up in what's happening under the mistletoe. But I don't know about you. You can get the press caught up what's happening on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. Because when you look at what's happening in this nation, it can cause you to get caught up and cause you to go into a funk about what's happening in the White House and in the Capitol and in the Senate. What's happening, and Lord have mercy, in the state house, and what's happening in the county council. It can get you caught up about what's happening in government. But I'm so glad that the scripture says that when he comes, the government shall be on his shoulders. In other words, that we don't have to worry about them, but they got to worry about us. In other words, if the government is on his shoulders, then Trump ain't big enough to put you in a depression. But Jesus is bigger than Trump. You've got to remember, if you look at scripture, that I don't care how big Herod thought he was during that time. I don't care how many cases they had up against Herod. I don't care if the Mueller investigation was against Herod. I don't care what was happening in Herod's situation, and if he had been dealing with some of the other nations of that time in collusion. Lord have mercy. I don't care what Herod had been doing. You don't think about Herod right now and how great he was. You think about Jesus and how great Jesus was. Because when Jesus came on the scene, the government was upon his shoulders. And I've come by to tell somebody in here, that's why I don't get shook or scared about what's happening in the White House. The White House needs to get shook and scared about what's happening in the church house. Because when God's power gets on this stuff, somebody's going to have to get right with God. Have I got anybody in here that knows that Jesus is big enough to handle all the mess of this nation and call this nation into repentance? Because the government shall be on his shoulders. Remember, it's on his shoulders. But then you've got to remember his nicknames. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, remember his nicknames. Remember his nicknames. Reverend Bill, I was sharing it at the Hope Happy Hour, that I can tell where you know me from, and I can tell what experiences we've been through together about what name you call me. In other words, if you call me Anthony, I know I used to work with you, or I used to go to school with you, the places where I needed my government name. Amen, somebody? If you call me Tony, I realize that you must be somebody who's been a friend along the journey. If you call me Reverend, then I understand I know you from theological areas. If you call me pastor, I know you're even a little bit closer, because I know you're from Community of Hope, or you know me as a pastor. If you call me Bean, Lord have mercy, then I know that you know me a bit closer, and we probably done fought together, risked our lives for each other. If you call me Love Boat, I realize you know me even a little bit further back along the journey. Lord have mercy. If you call me Papa Smurf, then I know you knew me when I was in elementary school, when Reverend Bill used to be called Candyman. You see, I can tell where you know me from by how you call my name. And one of the things that Isaiah understood is Isaiah understood when he was prophesying that Mary, when Gabriel came down, Mary was told by Gabriel that his government name is going to be Jesus. His name is going to be Jesus. But 700 years before, my main man Isaiah had given him some of his nicknames. He said, your nickname's going to be Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Is there anybody here who knows that you can know, Lord have mercy, the relationship you have with somebody by the nicknames you give them? Is there anybody here who you've been going through a rough time in your mind and he's been a Wonderful Counselor? Is there anybody here you found yourself between a rock and a hard place and he was the Mighty God? Is there anybody here that knows that when your father and your mother forsake you, then the Lord will take you up? He's been an Everlasting Father. Is there anybody here that had a storm going on in your life and he stepped out to the winds and the wave and said, peace be still? He was the Prince of Peace. I've come by to tell somebody, you got to remember his nicknames. Because if you remember his nicknames, when you call him, he will answer. If I got anybody in here that's not the only nicknames that you have for Jesus, that my grandmama used to call him the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star. Granddaddy used to say he's a doctor in the sick room, he's a lawyer in the courtroom. If I got anybody in here, you went through hard times, you call him a heart fixer, a mind regulator. Anybody here call him the Great I Am? Anybody here say he's my all in all? When he's touched you, you can say he'll grab a hold of you in the midnight hour. Say yeah. Somebody just call him. I don't care what you call him, as long as you call him. And the problem for too many of us is we won't call him. We've got access, but we won't call him. But I've come by to let you know, I called him. He heard me. He gave me peace of mind. He's my shepherd. He's my guide. He's with me all the time. I don't worry. I don't fret. The Lord has never failed me yet. I'm gonna keep on pushing, because I know his word is true. He's already done what he said he would do. If I got anybody else in the house that can say you called him and he heard you, say yeah. Call on him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noonday. Jesus when the sun go down. If I got anybody in here that can call on that name, what's his name? What's his name? Say, heal under my body. Touch my life. What's his name? What's his name? I dare to give him praise in the house today. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. Stand all over the church, all that are able.